Thank you, Jesus. Father, we receive tonight from your word. We open it. The word of the living Most High God. And we place ourselves in the hands of the Holy Spirit, the great teacher, leader, guide into all the truth, and we receive it. We receive it, we'll act upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles tonight, open them with me to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's begin reading with the 9th verse. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, he that is entered into his, God's rest. You understand that's talking about God? We read it that way again. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now notice the phrase, as God did from his. Now let's go to the book of Genesis. Put your marker there in the book of Hebrews. And let's go over to the first chapter. Let's begin reading with the second chapter, Genesis 2. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. If you would underline those words, all of the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, there's been, for years, I know I read it this way, you know, for many, many years, that when God finished creating the heavens and the earth, he was finished. And then he rested. Why did he rest? Did he rest because he was tired? No, he rested because he was finished. He was done. It is quitting time. And he quit. Praise the Lord. But now, he did not just quit with that creation. That was not the last work that he did. Let's go over here to the first chapter. Now we see a pattern working in the in this first chapter of Genesis. The King James translation of the Hebrew text here, where God said, let there be light, and uses that word, let there be, let there be, let there be. Well, actually, the Hebrew text just said, God said, light be, light was. Amen. Now, when he got down, he created all of this, and it looks as though man was the finish, when actually it was not. Now, when he created the man, notice in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. And here again, that was translated the same way it had been translated all along. Let there be light, let there be, and there was, let there be, and there was. Actually, God said, man be. He used the same words. Man be in our image. So the man was created with words of dominion. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Amen. Now, that's when the man became a living spirit, a living man. Translated in a number of English translations as a living soul. And the oldest of the Jewish sages in the Chumash, you can find notes in there where they commented on that and said, and man became a living, speaking spirit like God. He was in God's image, and he became a living, speaking spirit like God. But now I want you to notice something here. When God was saying all that, the man didn't hear any of it. This was God releasing the life words that gave birth to the spirit of the man. He didn't hear any of that. When he became a living being, God had already said all that. You understand? Where I'm coming from this? He hadn't heard a sound. Well, there sure wasn't anything else making any noise while God's talking, you understand? Nobody's going to butt in on God. No bird is that dumb. Only men are that stupid. You know, to be talking when God's trying to get over something over to you. No, it was the total creation was suspended in holy silence. The man's ear was ready to hear. Now notice this. And God blessed them and said unto them, this is the very first sound that any human ear ever heard in this earth. So would you say that the very first word that God ever said to a human being would have to be the perfect will of God for all men for all time? God never changes. And this is the very first thing that any human man ever heard. He blessed them saying, be fruitful, multiply. Amen. First thing any human ever said was prosper. More.
anything else. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish. The Hebrew word is fill up the earth. Subdue it and have dominion over everything in it. And then he rested. Hallelujah. That blessing was the last work of God's creative power at that time. Now, remember what we read there a moment ago. All of the host in it. Remember I told you to pay careful attention to that? The Almighty God created all of this universe. Then he created the man, put him in it, and then he released the power to sustain it all and support all of the life in it. All of the host of it forever. Now, there was no reason not to rest. Because now the blessing was released. The blessing of God. The blessing of the Lord. Say it. The blessing of the Lord is the highest form of authority. The highest expression of heaven's authority. It is the highest form of authority in the earth. Amen. The blessing was released, and the blessing can and will do anything God can do. So there's no use in him staying up. He sat down. Now, what happened? He sat down and let the blessing do the work. He didn't have to say, "Well, now I got to stay up with this young man because I'm gonna have to bless everything." And no, he's already blessed it. There was enough power. There was enough of his glory. It was the same glory that created all the heavens and the earth. And now it is inside this man and it is on this man. And there was enough power in him to bless the entire earth and all the universe that surrounded it. Oh, hallelujah. You really need to release your faith and get a grasp and a revelation of how mighty and how powerful the blessing of the Lord was released that day. Powerful enough to sustain all of the life that God had planned for this planet forever. Who? And is all in one man. Now that gives you an idea of the human capacity. Oh my, my. Hallelujah. Now, we know from the studying the Bible the geographical boundaries of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was not the whole earth. Was it? No, no. We know the boundary, and actually it is roughly where Iraq is today. I think God ought to have his garden back, don't you? Amen. No wonder the devil's so fussy about that part of the world. He's been trying to get it all these years, and he ain't got it done yet. Now, I'll tell you, there's another verse to that song. He ain't never going to get it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, replenish the earth. What was the job of the blessing? Now, remember, I said, now, the blessing can do anything God can do. The job of the blessing at that time was to expand the Garden of Eden until it filled up the earth. That was this man's assignment. Fill up the earth. Multiply. Amen. Fill it up. So as it grew, as children came into the earth, see, God's family, when God decided to have a family, I mean, he lived in a nice place, you know. Heaven was a nice place. Still is. But he never created heaven for men to live there. He created the earth for men to live here, and his plan was to move here and live with us. It still is, and he's still going to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the job then of the blessing was to expand that garden as the family grew and fill up the entire earth until the earth became the garden spot of the universe. All the Garden of Eden. Amen. Now, was there any death in that garden?
No.
Was there any poverty there?
No.
Was there any sickness there?
No.
Was there any pain there? Well, if sickness and pain and disease and poverty and lack and all that had been the will of God, that garden would have been full of it. Well, it wasn't, and it shouldn't be today. Hallelujah. Now then, we know what Adam did with it. Nothing. Now, listen, this is an interesting interesting observation. What you and I know as the curse, sin, sickness, disease, death, pain, sorrow, grief, all of these things we know as the curse, right? All of that, every bit of it, came out of Adam. It was what had been the blessing. Only when he disconnected from God and he connected with God's enemy, Satan, he connected with death. What had been blessing became curse. It was twisted and went exactly in the opposite direction. And instead of giving life, it gave death. And the all of the whole curse that covered the whole earth came out of that one man. Awesome thought. Hallelujah. Well, we know from the life of Abraham that God said that Abraham would bless the whole earth, all the nations of the earth. Glory to God. Now, I want you to see something here. The moment Adam fell, God rose and went back to work. He went back to work. He wasn't off very long. Adam didn't even give him a chance to, you know, he didn't give him a chance to even sit down. He went back to work. What was his work then? Redemption, wouldn't you say? Well, why? Why did he want to redeem the man? Get the blessing back where it belongs. Now, here's something that I really want you to get a hold of. You get this tonight and you bury it in your spirit and you bury it in your mind and you think about this until it gets right up in the front of your consciousness. If Adam had not sinned, that would be the whole Bible. everything added after that would have been the wonders of glory and all of the things that Adam learned and all of the rest of the family. And it would have just been absolutely marvelous. But the Bible that we have, God began that day to get this blessing back where he originally placed it, which was on all of mankind. Amen. So now, the blessing, say it, the blessing. When the Lord started dealing with me about this, I first heard of it and learned to depend on it 41 years ago, and I've been living in it all of these years. Of course, back then, I didn't know anything about it, but I still don't know everything yet, but I know a whole lot more than I did 41 years ago. The blessing of the Lord. In order to renew my mind, the difference between a blessing and the blessing, the Lord instructed me from the day that he said that. He said, from this day forward, don't write, just write blessing. He said, capitalize the word the and capitalize the word blessing. The blessing. The blessing, not a blessing. A blessing comes out of the blessing. See? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord. Now, the blessing can do anything that God can do. The last thing that God did was release this sustaining force. Well, was that the end of it? No, no. Not by a long shot. Let's go over here now to the ninth chapter. Now, Genesis. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, where have you heard that before? See, he's still saying it. Amen. Now, he blessed Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. Now, all of the nations are covered right there. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care who your grandma was. I don't care how far back your family tree goes. And I don't care how many nuts come off of that tree. All of us came from one of them three, or a mixture of all three of them in some cases.
Amen.
Every time I say that, I think of Jesse. And that's what Jesse told me one time. He said, you know, everything in my family. He said, man, everything, all races are in my family. He said, man, we is a bunch of Cajuns. He said, that why, man, alive. He said, they're every color in the world. He said, I'm a man of all nations. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's it right there. So God saw all the nations in three men. Now, all of them were blessed. Amen? All of them were blessed equally. God blessed Noah and his sons, saying, and he said the same thing that he said to Adam. Two of them did the same thing Adam did.
Ham and Japheth went their own way, tried to create their own blessing, making their own living, making their own way. They created cities. They created all of this thing that we see out there today. All of it, what biblically is called this Babylonian system of commerce that has the world trapped in it today. The Tower of Babel was the result of that. Shem, however, stayed with it. He followed God, stayed with God. Now, I'm a little bit ahead of myself here because I want to set the stage for this. I want you to see and know that that God's will never changed. Amen. It was the same blessing. Hallelujah. The same words, the same thing. Now then, let's go back over here to the book of Hebrews. I want to get back into that area. In fact, let's go to the very first chapter of the book of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in different manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I want you to notice the phrase, upholding all things by the word of his power. That word of his power was what he spoke to Adam. His perfect will for all men for all times. Now, he began to speak in behalf of that. Every word in that Bible, every word in all 66 books, every word in every volume is in relation to be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth, subdue it and have dominion over it. All of it is in relation to that. Why? To get it back. To get it back where it belongs. Amen? So now you see it being transferred down through the years. Let's talk about the transference of it. Let's go over to the book of Galatians right quick. Third chapter of the book of Galatians. And let's begin reading here. Well, it ain't going to work if I read the third chapter of Ephesians, is it? Let me turn to the left here and get back a little bit where I belong. Now then, verse 7, Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying. Now, God
preaching the gospel. Woo. If God's preaching somewhere, I want to go, don't you? Praise God, I don't want to miss that. Well, he's preaching right here in this verse. He preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In you shall all nations be blessed. God preached the gospel to Abraham. Now, in God's mind, all nations shall be blessed. In God's mind, that was only three different men. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He blessed them, didn't he? But he preached the gospel to Abraham, said, in you, all of them are going to be blessed. And two out of three of them blew it just like Adam did and didn't pay attention to it. Let me give you some more insight into this before we follow that trail there for a few moments. This is kind of an overview tonight, and we're going to get into a lot of detail in this as we go. Outstanding, outstanding Bible study. Spend the rest of your life at it. God said to Abraham, in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed, you and your seed after you. So he blessed Abraham and all of his children, right? Gave the same promise to him, stood in blood and swore to it. So shall thy seed be. Well, was Joseph the seed of Abraham? He was, wasn't he? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Well, what about all of Joseph's brothers? Well, yeah, I mean, they eventually became the 12 tribes, did they not? So all of them were there. But did they walk in that blessing? No, they did just like Ham and Japheth. I mean, they didn't pay attention to it. And God had a prophet born into that family to bring that family back on that blessing. He couldn't turn to the book like you have. There wasn't a book then. God appeared, right after Abraham died, God appeared to his son, Isaac. God appeared to him. Why? Well, like I said, there wasn't a book. He had to do this himself. Hey, I told you he went back to work. Now, what did he say to Isaac? The same thing. He said to Isaac, I will perform the oath that I swore to your father. Amen. So I want you to see God's pattern. I mean, he's working to get that blessing back on all of the nations. Hallelujah. So let's see here. Turn over with me into the... look with me over in the... where do I want... Oh, I want to go back to the book of Hebrews. Let's turn back over there. And let's look in the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. In chapter 5, talking about Jesus, verse 9, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Now, if you come over to the last verse of the sixth chapter, our forerunner entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Amen. He blessed him. Now, Abram later became Abraham. You remember that situation when this really, really, really bad king was just the bully of the whole region and had built up an army that there couldn't anybody withstand. Some of them tried to pull out on him, and he just rolled in there and rolled them over. And in all this going on, he kidnapped Lot. Well, now that was a mistake. He got Abram's kinfolks. He got onto a covenant man's family. Well, I mean, this is the largest army in the whole region. I mean, this is a huge expeditionary force. And Abram gathered up 318 men, trained men, Scripture said, in his own household, and defeated that whole army. Now, how in the world did he do that? Well, he did it with tactics and strategies that these guys had never heard of before, and they didn't know how to combat against him. And the Bible said that he and his people ruled the night, praise God. And how did they learn all that? I mean, who did Abraham hire to come in and train his household servants? Well, the only people that were available were in that other army. Well, it certainly wasn't them because they didn't know. Where did he get that? The blessing. Yes. The Holy Ghost taught them and trained them to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. Yes. Praise God. Glory. Amen. His household was blessed. Yes. This a covenant man went to war and got his kinfolk back. And then you remember the king that came to him and said, you keep the goods and give me the people. And Abraham said, I don't even want the string out of your sandals. I have lifted my hand to God. In other words, I made covenant with God, lest any man say he made Abraham rich. Now, at this time, the Bible said Abraham was very rich in silver and gold and cattle and lands and all these different things. Amen. Well, what made him rich? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So now, what happened at that time? Let's turn over there. Go back to the book of Genesis, and let's see what took place. Let's turn to the 14th chapter of Genesis. You can read there in that 14th chapter concerning the kings and all of those things that took place. And look in the 17th verse. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Ched, Orlay, Omer. Now that's kind of the Texas way you say that. But that works for me. Ched, Orlay, Omer. And of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba. Now look in the 18th verse. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Now, Melchizedek was not his name. Melchizedek was his title. Melchizedek, the Lord High Mayor of Jerusalem. He was also head of the schools of the prophets. Now notice here. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread
and wine. Covenant elements. You and I recognize them as the body and the blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, this is the forerunner of that. This was a type of that. Now listen. He brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, he was not calling God possessor of heaven and earth. Everybody knows God's possessor of heaven and earth. Abram already knew that. He is calling Abram of God possessor of heaven and earth. Now, we know that from the fourth chapter of the book of Romans that said Abraham was the heir of the world. Amen? Amen. Possessor. He's standing there with covenant elements in his hand. And he blessed him saying, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, Melchizedek was Shem, Noah's son. He's an old man. He's the Lord Mayor of Jerusalem. He's head of the schools of the prophets. The blessing is on him. And under God's instruction, this man brought his tithe, and Melchizedek rushed to meet him under God's assignment, and he passed the blessing of Noah on to Abram, who by covenant was to become Abraham. Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, glory to God. Whew. Lord, help me. I could go about four or five different directions at once here, but I want to follow your spirit. Praise God. Yes, sir. Let's go back now to the book of Galatians. I realize we're kind of all over the place tonight, but verse 13 of the third chapter of Galatians. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations through Jesus Christ, that we, say we, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I like to read it like this. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us. Praise God. Amen. I don't care where you're from. Shem, Japheth.
Yeah.
Or Ham. It don't make any difference. Jesus got the blessing back. Hallelujah. He got it back. He got it back. And it is in his hands today. And you want to know something else? God rested again. Yeah, and you always said to Jesus, come here and sit on this throne with me, son. Sit down here. Boy, you got your work done. Let's sit down here and let the blessing work. So what did Jesus do? He turned around and said to you, come boldly to the throne of grace and sit down here with me and let the blessing work till I make your enemies your footstool. Amen. Now, what is the blessing's work? What was its intention? Was to create the Garden of Eden wherever it's released by faith. It doesn't make any difference what the circumstances are. The blessing don't know one circumstance from another. Not anything in this earth can overwhelm it. It's the highest authority heaven has released in the earth. It can't anything overcome that. Not when it's released by faith. To recreate the Garden of Eden. God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed.
Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Copeland. I thought salvation was the gospel.
It is. It's part of the blessing. Yes. Amen. Was there any death in that garden? Then salvation is part of the blessing.
I thought healing was the gospel.
It is. It's part of the blessing.
I thought prosperity financially was part of the blessing.
The gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. The blessing, not part of it. It's part of the blessing. Hallelujah.
Some of you look at me like I just got out of school.
Well, you might as well get used to it. Because that's what this gospel is. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us through Christ Jesus. Turn right there, just flip over the page there a little bit. Look at the 28th verse. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ Jesus, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. It's mine. I read that 41 years ago. Glory and I was so broke, we couldn't pay attention. I had one suit. When I got that suit, I weighed 101 pounds more than I do now. I was bigger in the waist then than I am in the shoulders now. Amen. I'm glad the other part of me is gone. Amen. And the day we left to go to Oral Roberts University in December 1966, the first time I ever obeyed God and got in the will of God for my life, that day was the day that in the name of Jesus, I took authority over all that fat on my body and all of the stuff that had come out of the curse of the world. That day I ate 9 boiled eggs. The day we ate in Tulsa. That's the only thing I knew anything about back in those days. And while I was there at ORU for the first time since I'd gotten out of the Army, I came down below 200 pounds and I had never gone back. So I had this one suit. Oh, Lord. And I kept having it altered. You know, I'd take it back over there and the guy would take it up some more. Take it up some more. Take it up a little more. Take it up a little more. And finally, the last time I took it over there, he said, Mr. Kenner, I don't think I can take that suit off anymore, man. I don't think so. I said, why? He said, I take that thing up one more time, you're going to have one big pocket right in the back. That's always suit I had, man. And I had that old car. That old car wore out when we got it. And it was just, well, I don't go into all that. I don't even like to remember it. But while I was there, I found out about this, that the blessing of Abraham had come on the Gentiles that we might receive the promise. And I thought, well, that means me, dear Lord, that thing's on me. What is this? I thought, well, it said the blessing of Abraham. I'm going to find out how Abraham got blessed. And man alive, I started reading, and I thought, why ain't somebody preaching this? This is the best stuff I ever heard in my life, dear Lord. I had not been in that at less than an hour. And I knew on the inside of me, I knew, it never occurred to me that it wouldn't work. The Bible said Jesus died for the ungodly and I qualified. Have anything to do with me, it had to do with him. It's mine. He's my Lord, it's in him, and that's mine. I knew in less than an hour that in him I was already rich because it was the blessing that made Abraham rich. I knew I was a rich man. I didn't know yet how to receive it. But I knew it was mine, and all I had to do was stay in it and walk and live by faith, and it'd take place. I didn't have to make it take place. It already had its own maker built in it. And the more I studied it, and the more I saw in it, the more I realized, this ain't nothing but a matter of time, man. All I have to do is walk in this thing by faith. Faith is my job. The blessing is his. Faith is my job. I walk by faith. Well, I found out that the blessing of Abraham was released by the faith of Abraham. Well, it still is. It ain't changed. The blessing of Abraham is still released by the faith of Abraham. Amen. So, the more I studied, the more I began to realize that the blessing is faith dependent. And that faith is love dependent. That the blessing works by faith, and faith worketh by love. Well, then I began to realize it all centered up in that commandment of love, and that's the reason Jesus made it a commandment, because it was the Father's desire to get that blessing on the whole bunch of us. Well, then I began to track the thing and watch it work. See, God put Joseph into Abraham's family. God promised Isaac he would perform the oath that he had sworn to Abraham. Well, here's Abraham's seed now. God was performing the oath. They were not walking in the blessing. So God had a prophet born in that family, and he gave him two dreams. He gave him the first dream, and then he backed it up with the second dream. You follow this now? And so these young men treated this boy just like Abraham's seed treated prophets all down through the years. They wanted to kill him. Amen. Well, you know the story. I think it's amazing. The blessing was working in Joseph's life. They tried to kill him, but then they came up with a better idea. Well, where do you think they got the better idea? The blessing's working. Do you remember? You remember what Satan's biggest hack was when he got in front of God? I mean, his biggest gripe. The thing that was just tearing him up was this wall that was built around Job. He said, he has a hedge around him. Because you blessed him. And as I read that a few weeks ago, the Lord said, the blessing wall. It's there for anybody that'll walk in and build that wall and build it up. That's the reason you have to be so aware to walk in love. Don't do anything that weakens the blessing wall. Amen. It's there for you. Satan couldn't get by it. Well, that's working in the life of Joseph. The blessing is working. He refused to violate the dreams. I mean, he absolutely refused. At the threat of his own life, he would not violate those dreams. He hung on to them. Amen. They got a better idea, and they decided they'd throw him in that pit, you know. And they put him in there to hold him while they decided what to do with him, and they're talking back and forth. And they said, hey, we know what we'll do. We'll sell him, and we'll get us some money. Now, while they're talking about all this, there was some other guys came along and found him in that hole, and they got him out of the hole, and they're the ones that sold him. The curse was working in these other guys so bad, they couldn't even sell him and get any money. Somebody else beat them to it. Then there's one whole chapter in there about Judah and the curse working in his life. I mean big time. And the blessings working in the life of Joseph. There's the blessing and the curse right there. Well, you know the story. They sold him to Potiphar. He's a field grade officer. Joseph comes into his household, and it isn't long until the blessing of the Lord is working on Joseph. Joseph is doing things that he had never done in his life. He's running a ranch. He never run a ranch. He's running this man's business. He never ran anybody's business. He got sold to a caravan. Well, where do you think the caravan came from? Did it just so happen to come along? No. The blessing was already out there working. The blessing organized that caravan. The blessing got all that thing together. Yeah. The blessing saw to it that it left right on time. The blessing saw to it it was right where it was supposed to be. And the blessing saw that it picked him up and took him right where God wanted him to be. And all this time the blessing is working. Potiphar got so rich, it said he got to the point he didn't even know how much he had. Why? He turned it all over to Joseph. Now Joseph is doing things that he had never heard of before. He don't know how to keep books. He don't know how to run a ranch. He doesn't know how to run cattle. He doesn't know how to go to market. He doesn't know any of this stuff. But he did it. And he did it so well that the man got wealthy. Just because he was there. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Well, then you know what happened. Potiphar's crazy wife made a pass or two at him, took a run at him, you know. But he wouldn't fall for it. He told her, he said, I'm not going to do anything against God, and I'm not going to do anything against your husband, my boss. He refused to violate those dreams. Under any cost, he refused to violate those dreams. He got thrown into prison. Well, now that doesn't upset you. If you don't believe it would, you ask Phil. They never done anything wrong, and they come get you and put you in prison. Well, that's why that happened to Potiphar. But he refused to violate that dream the way Phil refused to violate faith and refused to violate the Word of God. Amen. And the blessing don't care. The blessing's job is to create the Garden of Eden. It don't make any difference to the blessing whether you're in prison or where you are. And so he just kept on being who he is and what he does. And the blessing was released in that prison, praise God, and began to bless the whole thing. Now, Joseph had never run a prison. He's never been in jail before. He never run a prison, but they turned the prison over to him and the prison prospered. How'd he know how to run a prison? Same way Abraham's men knew how to defeat Ched Orley Omer. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost trained him and taught him right where he was. Prospered and gave him insight. Now you have to understand this. You have to know this. The blessing of the Lord gave him insight and showed him and trained him what to do with the wisdom of God wherever he was, whatever he was doing, because it was the blessing's job to do that. He learned how to depend on it. And the prison got well off. And then there were some guys got released because Joseph ministered to them. And he said, now you boys remember me. Now when you get back over to the king, tell the king I'm in here and I ain't supposed to be here. Oh yeah, man, you know, we'll never let you down. And they forgot him the minute they got out. And he spent 2 more years behind bars. Now that, I mean, you know, that wrinkled you up pretty good. You spend 2 more years in there. Well, the prison just got richer. Blessings working. Amen. Hallelujah. Then when he did come out, it was the blessing that gave him the interpretation to the dreams.
Well, Brother Copeland, I thought that was the gifts of the Spirit. It was. They're part of the blessing.
Amen. He began to not only interpret those dreams, but the blessing gave him the plans of the future for the blessing of an entire nation. All because God swore an oath to Abraham and he promised his son he would keep it, that he would perform it. Amen. Now somebody said the reason God sent Joseph over to Egypt is because God knew that there was a time of great blessing coming to Egypt. And he needed him to be there. No, it came there because it came out of him. It was there because he was there. It would have worked where he was if those boys had shut up and listened to the prophet that God sent into their midst. He would have blessed that whole family all out like he said he would, but he had to get him out of there before they killed him. Moved him over there. He sent him over there. I just don't understand why God sent me over here. There ain't no believers over here. This ain't this place. I don't like this place. Oh, God. They got me in here working for minimum wage, flipping hamburgers. Surely I'm worth more than this. Oh, God. Shut up. God sent you over there to take the blessing of the Lord in that place. He sent you over there to bring a manifestation of His glory in that place. You just be the same wherever you go. I don't care what you flipping hamburgers or what you doing standing on the street corner flipping quarters. It don't make any difference. The blessing of the Lord is in you, and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You wind up owning that hamburger joint if you'll just stay in the blessing of God. Hallelujah. He trusts you, he wouldn't have sent you over there. That officer kid that I told you about earlier came out there to the parking lot that day and she knocked on my window. She said, Brother Copeland, I want you to know. And she was standing there on the verge of tears. She said, I want you to know what that man brought in to this facility. Talking about Phil. In that prison over there in Atlanta. She said, I want you to know, he brought the love of God into this place. Well, it didn't look nothing like the love of God when you got there, did it? It looked like a pit of hell. Amen. bad time. I'm going to tell a story on you. You care? Well, good, because I'm doing this. He got his first day in there, had no idea what was about to happen to him, and just a horrible place to be. And the first thing that happened to him when they put him in there, they didn't put him where they were supposed to, where he was supposed to go. They threw him into solitary confinement, what, 12, 13 days, something like that? No bath, no shave, no nothing, just threw him in there like a piece of meat. Finally, guy came down there and got him out and just started calling him everything you could think of. Cursed him to his face, called him. Phil said, I really thought the guy was really going to just beat the daylights out of me. He's an officer in that prison. Came in there and just went through all kinds of horrible things. And Phil just, you know, he had no retaliation. He just had to sit there and take it. Transported him from there over to where he was supposed to be. Still just a cussing him. Calling him every bad name you could imagine. Got him over there at this other place, and they were walking in. And there's one of the inmates coming by there. And he said, You look like Phil Driscoll. And of course Phil said, that's me. I am Phil Driscoll. Oh, what was it he said, Phil? Oh, Brother Driscoll, something like that. And then this guard said, you know this man? And the inmate said, yes, sir, I do. That's Phil Driscoll, man. He said he's one of the leading ministers of the gospel and leading evangelists in the world. He said, oh, my God. And he looked at Phil. Oh, did he call you brother? Oh, Brother Driscoll, please forgive me. Oh, please forgive me for the way I abused you and talked to you. I'm supposed to be a Christian man. And look what I have done. Look what I have done. What was working? The blessing working in this man. All he did, he just stood there. Well, this is one of the head guys in the place. Turned that around. Amen. I remember when Jim Baker went in prison, I went up there and visited with him. And he said, Brother Kenneth, I'm telling you, he said, when I got here, he said, I was absolutely scared, spitless. I didn't know what in the world was going to happen to me in here. And he said, I don't know what I was going to do. And he said, they brought me in the front door, and he pointed out this guy. He said, you see that guy right over there? And I said, yeah. And he told me who all he was. And he said, he walked over there to me, and he said, Jimmy boy. He had two guys there with him. Jimmy boy. Don't be afraid of nothing. You have any trouble in here, you come see me. My wife and my daughter watch you on TV. They told me to take care of you. Don't worry about nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's when Jimmy laughed, Jim Baker laughed, and he said, you can just tell the people when you go home that they put me in prison, but prison ain't got into me. Praise God. Amen. Prison didn't get into Phil. Praise God. He brought God into the prison. Hallelujah. Now, God didn't cause that. God didn't put him in prison. But I'll tell you, God sure stayed with him while he's in there. And all you guys in the penitentiary watching right now, Jesus will be in prison just as long as you are. He'll stay right there with you. He won't leave nor forsake you even to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord is in you. The blessing of the Lord is on you. The blessing of Abraham is on you. You're blessed. Say it, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Entering into God's rest . Now, I want to read that again. I don't want to finish it. I want you to see it. I'm going to put your own eyes on it one more time. Fourth chapter, once again. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now look at that last verse. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I want you to know, it didn't tell you to come fall down in front of the throne of grace. It didn't tell you to come kneel down in front of the throne of grace. It said come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, come sit down here till I make your enemies your footstool. Enter into that rest. Hallelujah. Entering into that place of rest. Cease from your own works and your own pushing and struggling and just go before the Lord and say, I'm out of that. I'm rolling all this care over on you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I consider Jesus has taken care of this. And I'm rolling it over on you. And I'm entering into my place of rest and I will not be disturbed. I don't care what anybody said. I don't care what the senator said. I don't care what the newspaper said. I don't care what anybody else said. No, 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 no. I don't care. I don't have that care. I don't care. People start trying to put pressure on you. You'd have to care for it to work. I picked up a phrase several years ago that has really been good for me. Got it out of a Western movie. Ooh, I like cowboy shows, man. You know, hallelujah. I just can't tell you how much I don't care. You have no idea how much I don't care. I'm not going to violate the dream.
Amen. That's right.
I've set my faith.
Yes.
I'm not going to violate it.
Glory to God.
Nope. I don't care how ugly you talk about me or how ugly you talk about my family. I don't care what you write about me in the newspaper. I don't read the stupid newspaper. It'll be at the bottom of a birdcage tomorrow. What do I care what it said? Yeah, but Brother Copeland, don't you care what they believe about you? What they believe about me ain't my job.
That's right.
What they believe about Jesus is my job. What they believe about the Word is my job. What they believe about the blessing of God is my job. What they believe about me, I could care less. He didn't call me to preach me. He called me to preach Him. I'm blessed. Stand up and shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. I'm not blessed because I'm rich. I'm rich because I'm blessed. Shout amen, somebody. Brother Keith, would you come up, please? It all begins with Jesus as Lord of your life. You mean that
I ought to accept Jesus just so I can be blessed. Well, yeah. Where you been the last hour and 20 minutes? I mean, that's what God said. Those are the words of his power that Jesus is upholding all things with. I'm blessed. I refuse to let anybody disturb my resting place. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. I have no fear. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because my Father's the biggest thing in the valley, that's why. The blessing wall is up. I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, dear God, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed. I just, hallelujah. All that old bad news come down, you know, and you just say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That don't change a thing. I'm blessed. And the blessing will come out. I'm going to read to you the things out of the book of Hebrews. God more willing abundantly to show the unchangeableness of his oath. To who? The heirs of the promise. It all starts with Jesus. Amen. Now, he is a faithful and merciful and just high priest. He is the high priest of the blessing. And all of it has been put into his hands. And our Father has once again rested, and this time he'll not be disturbed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We reign with him. We walk with him. Doing what? Being fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. Compassion himself said that. That was his will. Jesus of Nazareth is the perfect will of God for all men for all time. Hallelujah. Brother Keith, give an invitation or whatever else the Lord leads you to do, please, sir. Hallelujah.